God is good. He is. The only hope, the only thing we got going for us is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. So you can take the kingdom of God, that violence is, it's an interesting word chosen there, because I remember when I became a Christian, and in every day of my life, you have a crisis in your life. You have a choice to make, so to speak. But God makes it for you because he loves you. So he helps you in all things. So if you know Jesus, then Jesus is the head of the kingdom. He's the head of the church. He's the firstborn from the dead. Because he rose, you rose. Because your life, when you became a Christian, your life in this world was completely over. And the world, now the world hates you. You don't even know that. You do know it. But I'm just saying, they really hate you. People hate, this world hates Christians because they're not ever going to submit. They're not ever going to agree with what the world's doing, and what they're saying, what they're thinking, what they have planned. Why do the kingdoms rage and imagine a vain thing? It's all vain. Everything in this world, if you read the, I don't know, I'm sure all of you have read the book of Ecclesiastes. Everything in this world is vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Everything. Me and my wife just got done reading that together. We read that book. And everything in this world, everything, except for the kingdom of God, is just vanity. And it'll all vanish away. The world is passing away. I know this might even sound depressing, but it's really not. Because it's good, because if you love this world, if you have any love for this world, any love, then you hate God. Either you love the world or you love God. It's that simple. Everything in the Bible is so clear and so black and white. That's what convicts you of your sin. It's so black and white that every day I do confess my sin. And every day I'm so thankful for God's mercy. Because without mercy, you will never have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's just a gift. Righteousness, Psalms 85, says that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That means they've met together. That means they go right together. So if ever you read righteousness in the Bible, a lot of times you'll see the word peace right by it. Because righteousness always produces peace. And righteousness is a gift. If it was by works, then you could boast. You had something. You have something to boast in, or something to. You have an achievement. Then you'll be nervous and anxious, kind of like Luther was. He was nervous about all of his activity because he was monastic. He was gonna pay for his sins through penance. When I was a Catholic, that's what we did. When you sinned, you had what they would consider sin, like not going to Mass, or not going to Communion, or maybe getting a divorce. Or if you did something evil, then you had to either pay money, or you had to do a good work, say 10 Hail Marys, 5 Our Fathers. You had to do penance. But now that we're all Protestants here, we're all Christians, we all love Jesus, we don't have to do penance anymore, because you can never make up for... That's the angst, or the thing in our heart that frustrates us so much, is that we can never please God by any work we do, by any penance we do, by any suffering we do, by any fasting we do, by any praying, by any giving we do. It doesn't please God. None of that does. The only thing that pleases God is your faith. Do you believe in the Son? If you believe in the Son, you have life. If you don't believe the Son, you do not have life. But yet, and you believe that he came in the flesh? So everything in the world right now centers around Jesus. Even though the world does not know that, most Christians don't even know that, everything right now, God is making everything to us. It'll never be that way to the world. unless they see us do a good work, then they'll glorify the Father, because they'll know it won't be us. But everything, God is making everything clear now. If you read the parable of the tares, the wheat and the tares, everything grows up together. So, in my family, in my immediate family, my brothers and sisters and cousins and stuff like that, we have wheat and we have tares. The wheat and the tares grow up in the world, not in the church, in the world. So, when God plants good seed, He's the sower. Jesus Christ Himself is the sower. He sows the good seed, right? And you guys are all good seed. Willis, you're a wheat. You're not a tare. Now, I grew up in Illinois, and we had lots of wheat fields, tons of wheat fields. Because the soil up there right along the Mississippi River is rich. So we grew a lot of wheat, and it's just like the Bible says. Those tares that grow look just exactly like wheat. They grow up straight, tall, and they look kind of... If you look closely, you can tell the difference, but you have to look pretty close. But the wheat and tares look almost like, until the harvest. The tares will still be kind of green, kind of a really rough, I don't know how to explain it, but they're tall, a little bit taller than the wheat, and they stand up straight, and they're you know, they get about that tall, and I don't even know what they call them. There's a name for them, but anyway, when I was a kid, I'd see them, particularly around the edge of the wheat. You'd see them because maybe they forgot to spray the wheat killer or something. I don't know why it was like that. But it looked exactly like wheat. You couldn't even tell the difference until it was harvest, and then you could tell the difference. The wheat was kind of, it would kind of bend over like that, and you could actually grab it and rip some of the wheat off, and you can rub it in your hands, and then there would be it's really easy to work with because it's all dried out, and it's easier to harvest during that time because it's ready, it's ripe. That's how you know it's ready, when it starts bending over like that. So it humbles itself. But the wheat and the tares, at the end of the age, which, you know, we're getting there. This is the last day, the 7,000th year, going into the 8,000th. But anyway, it'll be the wheat and the tares will be obvious. And the angels will come, and they will harvest. And then the wheat will be thrown into the lake of fire, and the righteous will spring forth, the Bible says, and it'll be glorious. There'll be lights, and there'll be... And we'll tabernacle with God forever and ever. That means you'll always be with the Lord, always. Even though you are now, because you're already in eternity. So God has already started that. And the thing that we have is we have no fear, even though we are afraid. I'm afraid. I get afraid. I'm just human like everybody else, but we all get afraid. But the Bible says, fear not. It also says, let not your heart be troubled. Neither, because God's going to take care of everything. In the world you have trouble, but don't let your heart be troubled. Because it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In other words, God wants to give you the kingdom more than you want it. Because all of us still have something, some kind of stock, or some kind of something we want in this world. That you will never have, and that's happiness, the pursuit of happiness. You'll never be happy in this world, but you can be happy in the Lord. And that's one thing I learned over the last 30 something years I've been married and been a Christian, is that you cannot find happiness in the world, because it eludes you, because it will be, and plus it'll only be a temporary thing. But with God, every day you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Every day you have the kingdom, because it's from heaven. So every day I look to heaven. I don't look to this world. I don't look to CNN or CNBC or Fox News or any news. I don't look to anything. I don't even look at all that stuff, because it's not me. It's not who we are. We are salt and light in this world. And I'm only salt and light to people that are, to the people that God has given me, or people I'm around, my family. Yesterday, last night, we, instead of having the Halloween thing, whatever was going on, I don't know what everybody did last night, but my daughter, who lives across the street, wanted to have a, kind of something for the kids. We have a lot of grandkids. As a matter of fact, all of them were there, except for Brendan. He's in the hall. By the way, Brendan, I don't know if you knew, I had a grandson who was born August 29th, but his due date wasn't until December. So he was born really early. And he only weighed like 2 pounds, which was actually, the doctor was kind of happy with that because he was kind of big for being that preemie. But anyway, he's still in the hospital since then, and he'll be probably released in December sometime. But he's doing actually pretty well.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
He actually gained 3 pounds. He weighs 5 pounds now, which is huge. That's what my Titus, when he was born, weighed 5 pounds. So it was little. But anyway, he's really... So anyway, God, we've been praying a lot, and God has been... It's just a miracle. So anyway, last night we got to get... It was so funny. I said, man, we were just a bunch of hicks living in the city. Because in the front yard, Anna had... And her husband has his own business. He's a welder. But he has employees, and he has a big... So anyway, he made this really cool fire pit out of metal. So we had that right in the front yard, and then we strung lights everywhere. We had chairs, all the kids were running around going crazy. And we had, and the whole family was there, and it was such a blessing. It was just like having Christmas or something. It was awesome. Yeah. Anyway, and people would just drive by. Even some people, neighbors would drive by, and they'd all honk, and they'd roll down their windows. Hey, this is awesome. You guys are, Anyway, it was kind of neat. Because that's the way we are. As Christians, we're not afraid. Amen. Of what the world, of this world.
Yeah.
Even though we are. It's okay. We just repent, because fear is actually a sin. Those are the first, if you read the book of Revelation, those are the first people that go to hell, get thrown in the lake of fire, as the fearful. But we're not afraid. It doesn't mean that if you're afraid, you're going to go to hell. That's not what it means. It means that people are terrified, kind of like Luther was before he became a Christian, kind of like I was, kind of like you were when you were being born again. You had a terror in you, a wrath. The wrath of God was abiding on you. So when you gave your life to the Lord, then that wrath was taken away, and God gave you peace. He gave you joy. He gave you righteousness, and he just gave it to you as a gift. It's just a gift. It's just something God gives you every day, and you just receive it by faith. Until Jesus comes back, you will always live by faith, and you will live by hope. You just have to do that. You cannot escape that, because if you don't have faith, you don't have faith. If you look at the world, and young people have a really hard time with this. I don't that much. I mean, I do. Everybody does. But I'm just saying, when you get old like Dan and me... Okay. you're in the Word. You're just praying. You're with the Lord. It's just this world just becomes less, attractive, or I don't know what, even know what it is exactly. It's not so much that we're being so spiritual. It's just that we're too tired to do a lot of things you do when you're young. You know, when you were my daughter and son-in-law went on their honeymoon. Nicaragua, or I can't remember where they went, somewhere in the South America, and they had just did all this zip lines and hiking and all this athletic stuff, and there is no way I would ever do that. Just because I don't have the energy anymore. Like when I went to Africa the first time, I was like, yeah, we went to Victoria Falls, and we were just... We went all these compound. We'd go way out in the bush and preach the gospel and do all this stuff. Well, now, last time I went with Pastor Jim last year, it was a little bit more difficult. Just getting there on the plane was difficult because you just get old. But God is, I'm telling you, God is good. Every day Every day, all you have to do is ask him, God, even though he already has, but because you're just thankful every day for the kingdom, God, thank you for righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, of course, you guys all know, you guys, if you've been in this church for any amount of time, you know that righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ, not through any work, any effort, anything on your part. It's just free. As a matter of fact, even the Bible, I was just reading John this morning, the Father draws you. And Father gives Jesus his bride. When your daughter gets married, Brazos, then Willis will... Well, I know. But when she does, or when my wife Leah, when we got married, her father walked her down the aisle and gave her away. And that's what Jesus... It's kind of a thing. But God brings the bride, and then when that bride is complete, all the people that God knows, because God knows everything, all the people that will become Christians, that will become part of that bride, then the thing's over. Then there's no more earth. It'll like it says in 1 and 2 Peter, it says that the earth will melt with fervent heat, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And you see, that's your hope, actually. That's your heritage. So you and I, as pitiful as it is, will inherit all things. So we'll inherit the heavens and the earth. So, even though it doesn't look like it, it looks like maybe the UN will inherit the earth or somebody else, but it's not. That's not how it's going to be. All that stuff they're doing is totally vain. Every law they make, every ordinance they put forth, it is all just vanity of vanities. It will not work. Man, I was actually sleeping on the couch, but I was kind of half awake, and Leah, my wife, was, she got this channel, I forgot what it's called, anyway, because she likes watching Hallmark movies during Christmas. I'm telling my wife right now. But she got this day, so she was watching a movie last night, and there was commercials with it, and I haven't even watched TV in probably 5 or 6 years. It's been a long time since I've watched a commercial or anything like that. So, I just don't watch TV. I watch movies, but I won't watch anything that has a commercial. I won't watch it. I just don't have the patience for it, I guess. But anyway, I was half asleep. I was just laying on the couch. I opened my eyes one night and go, what? And they had like a commercial, and it'd be about this. And even my son Titus, who's 9, was laughing. They would have this big thing about this drug you could take for whatever. I don't even know what it was talking about, but. And then when you take it, then it all listed all the side effects.
Yeah.
And the first one was always death. And I'm like, why would you take that? And we were just like, you know, I don't know about all that stuff, but I was just like, wow. So all these commercials were for, this must have been an old people's station, because all the commercials were, you know, old people stuff. anyway, it's funny. So anyway, this world isn't going to work. Nothing will work out for them. I know it's almost depressing, but like for the all the political stuff going on right now, it won't work out, because God has them in derision. Because they will, whatever traps people make, whatever plans they have, they will not prosper, and they will fall into their own trap. And that's just how it will every single time.
Yep.
It won't. But we look at it in our time like, oh yeah, no, but they've been doing this for years and years and years. But so what? It's just years and years and years. God is patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance.
Yeah.
So that's why God is patient with you, with us. Because he wants to have a church, a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle, any such thing. So God is, postponing, he postpones everything, even judgment. The wicked aren't being judged. The church is being judged in the sense that it's being chastened. And that's just the way it is. So too bad for us. You just got to receive chastisement. And then the world will get theirs later. But right now the world's not being judged. As a matter of fact, it rains on the just and the unjust. So God's actually blesses everybody, Even animals. If you read Psalms, he feeds the animals. He goes, they creep out at night and he feeds them and stuff, and then they go back and then they come back out at night and do their thing and all that. And I lived out in the country for 25 years, so I know how all that. When I read Psalms, I go, wow, that's true. That's exactly how it works out. God makes the grass grow. I don't care what science there is behind it. There is science behind it. I know that. I'm not stupid. But God makes the grass grow. He makes the trees grow. So we have plenty of oxygen. You know, the world's not gonna burn from global warming. Nothing like that. Because God makes everything. He blesses. He's even blessing them, and they are adamantly against it. But they don't even thank him. No one. I laugh at that. So I go, man, nobody's even thankful, God. You gave people jobs. You blessed people economically in all kinds of ways. I know there's a lot of problems. I'm not denying all that. But that's all man. That's not on God. If you forsake God, then you forsake your own mercy. If you don't acknowledge God and give him all the glory and the honor, especially us, because we're Christians. We love Jesus because he did everything for us, in us, and through us. If he does everything, then we can relax and just thank him every day. Thank you, Jesus, that you're merciful and kind every day. Even I was reading Jonah the other day, and he got barfed up, you know, and all that from the fish, and he didn't want to go to Nineveh because those are wicked, evil people. They're probably all Democrats. I'm just kidding. He hated them. He was, you know, Jonah was a Hebrew. So he had to travel far to go to Nineveh. But he said, man, I'm not going there. I know God. He even prayed this. He goes, God, I know you. You're merciful and kind. Your loving kindness. Oh, I know you're gonna. The reason why you're sending me is because those people are gonna repent, aren't they? And I want the place to be, you know, nuked. He did. I mean, Jonah just wanted the place to be totally destroyed. But God, in his mercy, and in his loving kindness, graciousness, he saved that city. And if you ever read it carefully, the preaching he did he just said, God's going to destroy this city in 40 days. And that's all he said. And then everybody listened to him. And there was like 120,000 people in that city. It was a big city back then. It was one of the big, 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 big powerhouses of the day. And I was just thinking about now, because all the Bible, everything written in the Bible is for you, for Alex, for all of us, for Dan. It's written for you. And you can read that, and you can read it in other places too, but in 1 Peter, it talks about that. It talks about the Word of God. And all those prophets of old, they wrote the Word of God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it was written for us, for this time, for this day, for this hour, that without us, they will not be made perfect. Because God's going to perfect, God's reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ, through us. And everything will be reconciled back to him. But Jesus right now is Lord. He's not Lord of the world. He is Lord of the world. He's Lord of everything. But we'll see it when he comes back. We'll see, oh yeah. Everything worked out for my good. Everything in my life worked out perfect. So all God wants from us is thanking him, praising him, worshiping him. And because God, you can trust in the Lord, but you cannot trust in anything else. Nothing. Wow. If a man thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So every man, all of us included, are all deceived because we think we're something. But we're nothing. If you're nothing, then you can receive everything from God and trust in him because he loves you. And everything God ever did in the whole, since the beginning of time, was not for himself. It was for you. So everything, and I pray like this, and I really believe this, that everything in the world is rigged for me, and just for Willis. And I'm his favorite. I'm his favorite by far, more than you guys even. I'm just kidding. But you are. That's what the word, if you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that means God, you're his favorite. So God's rigging everything, your marriage, your life, everything is rigged for you to win. Even if it doesn't look like it, even if it looks bad. God does all the suffering we go through, all the things we go, pains in this life, and all this, it all turns out, in the end, it'll turn out perfect. Where we'll have our reward, which will be we'll inherit all things. Why? Because we'll inherit Jesus. He's our exceedingly great reward. Do you know that? The exceedingly great reward is not you're going to have a mansion in heaven. That's not even what that word means in the Greek. It just means a dwelling place. God gave you, you are God's dwelling place. So you're actually where God will live. Himself will live in us. And we're the house that he's building. We're the brick. I'm a brick. Willis is a brick. Dan's a brick. We're all a brick. So Pink Floyd might have been right, you know. All we are is bricks in the wall. No, I'm just kidding. But really, that's what we want. But we don't think we want that. We want Jesus to be our sugar daddy. We want him to heal us when we're sick. We want him to fix all of our problems as if God was just some kind of, you know, a handyman or something in our life that is going to fix everything for us. He does take care of us. But the thing you really want is you want him. Because this world, even our bodies are decaying. And I know that because I'm 62 now, so I know my body is getting old and decaying. Even though I'm in pretty good shape, I can still do whatever God's called me to do. I'm not infirmed or anything. But it's going to wear out. You know, my dad just died recently. He was 94. So he just wore out. He even said on his death certificate, just said, died of natural causes. Because he just got old. He just wore out. But thank God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will never die. Your immortality will put on, well, your mortality will put on immortality. And so you'll have a new body, a new everything. Because everything in heaven is spiritual. There's nothing, it's not like this world. It's similar to, it's like we're creating God's likeness and image, but we're not God. And the angels aren't God. The devil definitely isn't God. As a matter of fact, the devil is the lowest man on the totem pole. He's the lowest. He crawls on his belly. He's low. Why? Because he exalted himself. If you exalt yourself, you'll be abased. If you exalt yourself, then you'll be the least. So he's the least. The devil is actually the least. He's nothing to God. God, you just can use him, whatever. But the devil's not that interesting because he has no power. He goes around as a roaring lion, but he can't do. He has to ask God. Even if you read the book of Job, the devil had to go. He can't do that anymore because he got cast down. But he asked God. He said, God, man, if you just let me have Job, he'll curse you to your face and all this stuff. And God was like, no. Even though Job wasn't perfect, obviously, because he said a lot of stupid things and did a lot of stupid things because he's a religious man. But still, at the end, God vindicated him. Because why? Because he trusted in the Lord. Job trusted in the Lord. He had faith that God, even though he perished, even though I die, yet will I praise him. So even though all through all that, Job still had faith. But it was a gift. It was something that God did. So God gives every man in the church has a measure of faith to do whatever God's called you to do. But that's not even that interesting. I'm not interested in my calling. even though I am. I'm not. I'm only interested in Jesus, knowing Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, your calling is worthless. If you don't know Jesus, that's eternal life. Eternal life is to know God and to know the Son and to be led by the Spirit. Those are the things, that's eternal life. Eternal life is not you going to Africa and doing something or anything like that. That's just a product of our relationship with Jesus. Like when you prepare to minister or to preach or to do anything, to be married, to do anything, it's just all Jesus. It has nothing to do with you. You are not wonderful or awesome. You're nothing. I know that sounds bad, but you're not nothing in the sense that God doesn't have, you don't have any dignity, value, and worth. You have tons of that because of Jesus. But God made you from dirt. He made you out of nothing. And you'll return to dirt. Your body will. Not us, but we will. Our soul and our spirit will be, we'll go to heaven. And we'll have a new body, whatever that looks like. I know it's spiritual. It has to be. Because I don't know how, it'd be pretty funny if we all look like bricks or something. So we have some kind of spiritual body. But I want to read a few scriptures. So Romans 14, 17, that's the verse that says, it's talking about food and stuff like that. Because, you know, the Jews, they were big into food. Wash your hands before you eat, which we all do. But, you know, they had ceremonial washings. They couldn't eat pork. They had all this meat thing going on. And they would judge everybody by that instead of by righteous judgment. They were judging everybody by outward appearance. So, but Paul said in verse 14, 17, that the kingdom of God is not meat. It's not drink. That means it's not anything from this world. It's not your job. It's not your anything. It's just righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if you have that, then you have all you need. But it's way more than that. It's like I said, it's love, joy. In other words, the kingdom of God comes from heaven. It doesn't come by observation. I can't look at somebody in this room and know anything. I can only see your body. I can only see your outward appearance. I can only see what you do and say and all that. I can only do that. But I don't know anybody's heart, and I can't judge anybody. I don't know anything about anything. I even tell God that every day when I'm praying. I go, God, I know nothing about anything. Amen. All I know is I love Jesus. So you don't know anything. So you have to ask God everything. God, how do I love my wife, for instance? Well, that would be a good prayer. It is a good prayer. Because I don't know. I don't know what she needs. I don't know her anything. I don't even, you know, sometimes I think, man, I don't even know who she is. Who is that woman anyway? But you don't know. You don't know how to do anything. You don't know how to love. You don't know how to have peace. You don't know how to have joy. You don't know how to have righteousness, except for God reveal it to you. So my righteousness is already taken care of because I have faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Paul said, if we are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentile, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, ever. So anything you do say or think, you will not be justified by that. You will only be justified by your faith in Jesus Christ. Faith only. We're the only religion in the world. We're the only. And even in that, that's a remnant. Because our religion is totally faith. It is based on nothing else, no work. We don't have to go to Mecca. You know, the Muslims have, or the Islam, they have five pillars of faith. I think it's five pillars.
Yeah.
But you have to do something. You have to go to Mecca. You have to pray seven times a day. There's a work to it. But all religions are like that. Baptists. It doesn't matter. You can name any religion. It's all works. It's all based on works. Catholic. I grew up Catholic. I know. And even though people sometimes, even the Protestant denominations will say grace, 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 but what they really mean is you better come to church. You better pay your tithe. Especially you better pay your tithe. And the lawn needs mowing. and blah, blah, blah. You know, they got all kinds of laws and rules and things you got to abide by. So, but we have the only faith in the world that just says, believe God and he has accounted to him as righteousness. So, but that's the only way I could come, I'm telling you. When I became a Christian, I could not do the slightest, and I knew it, and I knew I was going to hell. I couldn't do the slightest command. I couldn't even do the outward stuff, what man made up. Like, even when I was in a Catholic church, I never did keep the thing. I didn't go to confession as many times as they said. I skipped Mass. I didn't do communion. I cheated on all my penance. I would, if they said, say, 10 Hail Marys, I would say it like in 2 seconds. I'd just go, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. I wouldn't say the whole thing. So I cheated. And that's the way it is. Everything in this world is just a facade. It's just vain. If you watch the news, if you look at billboards, you watch the news, you watch TV, you see, everything is just a lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. Everything in the world is a lie. And the world hates you. It will not. And it's because the reason why the world hates you is because you will not conform to their morality, to their stuff. Even Peter said, gosh, and they just think you're weird because you won't go and into the same parties, the wild party, whatever the thing is you're doing, they think you're crazy. They think it's strange. They think you're strange and weird. You know, some people, you talk about Jesus to them, they just look at you like you just, you know, fell off a log or something. You're just weird. Or you just came from outer space or something. Because it does. It sounds too good to be true, for one thing. And also, it's just weird. Because they have, after all, they got evolution. They're smart. They can figure things out. People have good reasoning skills. I went to college. You know, especially intellectual people are the hardest because they're smart. Mm-hmm. And they got everything figured out. My brother's like that. He just thinks he knows everything about everything. Because he's smart. He is smart. Intellectually, he is right up there. He went to the same college Pastor Jim went to. He's just a smart guy. But he's stupid. He does the dumbest things. His family's a mess. His health is pathetic. Everything in his life is all messed up because he's smart. He'll figure it out himself. So go for it, man. I'm stupid. I'm just going to let God do it. So I think the dumber you are, sometimes the easier it is to become a Christian. Guess what? God has chose the weak things of the world, the things that are the world disregards, like me, like you. Then that's what God wants. Oh, you just got rejected by the world? Then come on, you can be part of my kingdom, eternal kingdom, the kingdom that'll never end. All the kingdoms of these worlds right now, at this moment, as we speak, are all passing away. Every kingdom. Name a kingdom. Sports. Name any kingdom, and there's tons of them. They're all passing away. And they'll be gone. And you won't see them anymore. Because we love this world. And we love the things that are in the world. Love not the world nor the things that are in the world. Because all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. That's all there is in the world. And the only thing we have, but the kingdom of God is just the opposite. There's no lust of the flesh. There's no pride of life. There's nothing like that. Everything in the Bible is humility, humble. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And he exalts us just as a gift. And he does everything. So, in my family in particular, because I have a huge family, I just described some. That's just my kids and my grandkids are just a little part of my family. I have a huge extended family. Huge. Probably every state, maybe. I don't know. They're big. We have a lot of family. Cousins and just everybody. But just in my family, you know, I am well thought of and stuff like that. And people respect me and they love me. But it's not because of me. If I would have gone, I know if I wouldn't have gotten, became a Christian 35, 40 years ago, whatever, 37 mm-hmm. years ago, that it would be totally different. As a matter of fact, I don't even think I would even be alive today because of the way my life was going. So, what a change. But that was all God. I didn't do anything. I promise you, I did not do anything. I am a big flub up. I don't even care. I walk through life kind of cavalier attitude, whatever. I don't even, you know, I'm just worthless. But I know I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing I got going for me. The only thing, literally, the only thing I got going for me is my faith in Jesus Christ. And I take that very seriously, although I don't. But I do take, I take God seriously. I don't take myself seriously, but I take God very seriously. So He does everything in me, for me, and through me, and I believe that, and I don't have to do anything. Every day I wake up, and it's the best day of my life. But this is just all by faith, of course. Every day is a good day. And I say that to my son, Matt Titus. He still lives with us. He's only 9. I'm going to kick him out next year, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. But I think, no, this is the best day. This is the best day of my life. So you just have to believe that. And then it turns out to be the best day of your life. But you don't have to look at it. Because Jesus said, He who began a good work in me will do it till the day of Jesus Christ. So every day God's doing a good work in you, but you don't see it. God, I hate that. Because this is an ordinary day. I got up, drank a cup of coffee, went to work, kissed my wife goodbye, went to work, felt kind of tired, whatever. That, you know, and I came home and, you know, took a nap or whatever you did. And then, you know, went to bed early. Like, I always go to bed about 9:30, but because I wake up, like this morning, I woke up really early because it was daylight savings time. Do you guys know that? Obviously you did. You didn't?
No.
I was up and I go, it was 5:30. And I thought, oh, that's not bad. I thought, no, it's 4:30. So it was actually 4:30. But I went to bed early because I just ran out of gas. You know, when you're old, what time do you go to bed, Will? It's about 9:30.
7:30 last night, 8:00.
What? He's even older than I am. But anyway, so I wake up really early because I don't really need that much sleep. Plus, I don't know if you guys experience it, but when you get older, you just, about 6 hours, and then I'm wide awake. I'm like laying there in bed, like, I'm totally awake. So if I go to bed at 9:30, and I'm up early, and I'm like, wow. So I try to make myself stay up as long as possible. But if I read the Bible or do anything like that, I'm asleep in 2 seconds. I'm going to read the book of John. You know, the first verse, I'm like... So it doesn't work out that well, but, you know, God knows. So I told you about Psalms 85:10. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So righteousness... Because God said, He said, my peace I leave, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives... Give on, because you have no righteousness in this world. None. I don't care how many masks you wear, how many pieces of trash you pick up. I'm just thinking of some of the things that the world thinks is awesome. Or how much you cander to the homosexual thing and all that. It doesn't matter. Or how kind you are to them. That's stuff that is worthless. That's just a bunch of morality. Morality, Jesus wasn't moral. Jesus didn't just come to be an example. He was an example. But if he just came to be an example, then everybody goes to hell.
Or he healed everybody at the pool of Bethesda.
Right.
He only healed one.
Right.
There's multiple people.
Exactly. And I'm sure there was people, because he walked everywhere, and they had multitudes thronging him. And one time he only healed the lady that touched the hem of his garment. God's not into morality, what you think is good or what you think is right, what you think is awesome. It's Him. God is good.
Period. But
that's by faith, because we don't know that. You can't see it. You can't see the kingdom of God. It comes not by observation. So you cannot see that God is good, but He is good because He said He was. And you have to wait till the end. But people don't want to wait. No, I want it now. I want man to rule the world. You know, they're building the Tower of Babel again. So these upcoming elections are probably important, but not to the kingdom of God exactly. Maybe indirectly, but not directly, because no matter what happens, we still win. No matter what happens, the kingdom of God is not going to be snuffed out or something. Even in Russia, China, even Venezuela, that was the last socialist project they had that totally failed. They all fail. But people come out of there, and God does something. Because then there's a remnant of people that come. Even Israel will have a remnant, even though they're under law and they're legalistic and they're still trying to be Jewish, whatever. That's failed. It's a failed religion. And the only thing that's going to work is when they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," but it'll only be a remnant. It won't be the whole deal. Just like us. In the United States, particularly in Texas, I think we're going to be okay because we have a remnant. Remember Abraham prayed and said, "Look, gosh, Lord, if there's just 10 guys, you know, don't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." He might have been thinking about Lot. That's what I think he was. I think he was thinking about Lot. But God saved Lot anyway. His wife didn't quite make it, but that's okay. He made it. And then we got all kinds of problems from that, too. Because even though Lot was an evil man, outwardly, I think he was. He must have had something. Because God saved him. And it says in the New Testament that his righteous soul, he was righteous. Isn't that crazy? Lot was righteous. His righteous soul was tormented day by day by their evil deeds. Isn't that us? Yeah. Don't we grieve within ourselves because of all the stuff we see in this world right now? It's grieving. It grieves me. It grieves my spirit. And you know that you don't know how to praise y'all, but the spirit itself makes groanings for you that cannot be uttered. So when I'm at work, sometimes I'll just be thinking about something and I'll go like that. That's a prayer. You just prayed because you don't even know what you're doing. People think, "Oh, I'm going to go to a class and learn how to pray." Prayer is something the Holy Spirit does. It's not something you do. You cannot pray because you don't know how to pray. You think you know how to pray, but you don't. I don't. I totally depend on God for every prayer because you know what I would do? I would pray and I would want to consume it on my own lust, like it says in James. He says, you ask amiss because you want to consume it on your own lust. Just pray what God prayed. God knows better than you do about everything. So God, when you pray in tongues, you pray in the understanding, you pray in the spirit, but it's all God. I have a friend of mine, Larry, he at our Fort Worth church. I've known him since college. That's he pray. He will pray when he goes and walks and prays out in the woods by his house in Benbrook, in South Fort Worth. But he'll go there and he says, and he tells me this all the time. He goes, "Gosh," he goes, "before I can get my mind quiet and get," he goes, I gotta pray in the spirit, pray in tongues for an hour and worship God, and then I can start praying. then he says, "The unction of the Holy Spirit will come on me, and then I'll know what to pray." And that's the same, you know. That's just normal Christianity. That's not him being. He's not a special. He's a doofus, just like me. I mean, I've known him since college. I know exactly who he is. He was just like me, you know, just crazy. And then he got saved. Me and him got saved about the same time, but. That's how God does it. Everything that we do is dependent on God. Trust not in horses or in chariots or in man. It says it so plainly that we do it anyway. It says, trust not in man. What do? We trust in man. So we trust in everything except for God because we can't see him. We can't feel him. We can feel him sometimes, but you can't. But it's just by faith. Everything is by faith. So faith is the victory. Faith is your victory. It's the only victory you have. There is no other victory. This is a victory, even your faith. Because why? You have faith in God. There's an object to your faith. You can't have faith in yourself, although the world says that. It's, you notice everything the world says is opposite of the Bible, even though it sounds kind of like the Bible. Have faith in yourself. Just have faith. But you can't. Faith only comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the only way you guys ever have faith is you heard something from the Holy Ghost, from heaven. Because the kingdom of God comes only by that way. You have to have faith because you don't see it. And you have to have hope. And we have great hope. Our hope, we just said it in that prayer, Jesus is going to come back to judge the quick and the dead. Jesus is coming back. That's our hope. There's nothing wrong with that. People say, well, you just want to get out of here. I'm not. Well, sure I do, but that's my hope. That's a hope. The Bible says that we are to hope in that, that Jesus is coming back. So Jesus is coming back. He's going to set everything right. And everything that the that we thought was a big deal, that we were worried about, that we trusted in, was all, we'll see that was all vanity of vanities. Man at his best is altogether vanity. And even you, yourself, whatever you can do in yourself, in your own efforts, your own juices, will just burn. But it's okay. I want all my works to burn, and they will. Because some of my works will be wood, hay, and stubble, and some will be precious stones, but I can't judge that. I don't even know what that's talking about. I'm just going to let God sort that out. At the end, you got to let God sort everything out. The wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goats, the world, the church, the whore, the beast. God has to work all that out. Because I can't. I don't even know who the Antichrist is. I know there are. The Bible says there's many Antichrist. But there will be one. But I don't know who he is. I don't even care. Why would I even care about it? That's not even any of my business. If God wants to know who the Antichrist is, he would have spelled it out very clearly. But he didn't, so I don't know. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I have no idea. I know a lot of people try to guess. I think sometimes Robert McGuire tries to guess. People try to. Jim used to do that a lot. He used to try to guess, say, well, Jesus is coming back in 1998. Or he's coming back this time. I mean, you don't know. No one knows the day or the hour. He's going to come as a thief in the night. He just says, be ready. So all we're doing is being ready. But we're not ready. God, that's Jesus' job to make us ready. So God's making his bride ready. He's got a nice dress for her, perfect makeup. You know, and we'll be awesome. So God's doing that. That's what God's doing right now. He's doing a work in the church. Because he loves his church. Loves his church. He just loves it, loves it, loves it. So anyway, in John, it talks about that. So peace, if you have peace, which you should, and you do, then you have righteous peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you have no joy, then you'll be sick. If you have no joy, then you'll be stressed. This is a good testimony. My daughter Anna, who's my second oldest daughter, works for a lady who is kind of like Julia. She's a, whatever Julia is, what is she? You know, kind of holistic doctor. But my daughter works for her. Not at the moment, because she has three kids now. She just had a baby, too. Gosh, we have tons of babies. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, Leah's babysitting him right now, because my other daughter's at the hospital with the other baby, Brendan. But anyway, Anna works for her. And she worked for 5 or 6 years, whatever. She said, and she made a really neat observation. She goes, you know what, Dad? She goes, the only people that we can help are Christians. It just turns out that way. Because they're the only ones that have the wherewithal to do the whatever. Because it's, you have to be disciplined to do it. Because you can't eat certain foods. And I mean, I can't even do it. I can do it, kind of. Because my wife makes me, so. Anyway, so she said, the only people that it works with is Christians. Because they have joy. She goes, because the one thing they teach, they preach a lot. I'm sure Julia does, too. That you can't have, if you have stress, then your body's going to be have diseases and stuff. You cannot be stressed. You got to have joy. You know where you can get that is from the Lord. You can't have just randomly have joy. You can't have it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Like a medicine. So if you have a merry heart and you're good, like for instance, in our family, we've raised six kids. None of them ever had once, not one of our kids. I'm not bragging or anything. I'm just saying it's a miracle because I didn't do anything. I didn't even know what I was doing, as a matter of fact. But none of our kids have. It's because of my wife. She is awesome. But she, we never took them to the doctor. Anna has literally never been to a doctor or been in a hospital because she was born at home. And this is the way it worked out. So some of my kids are like that. Like Mathen, my oldest son, he's never been to the doctor or a hospital. We don't even have a doctor. I don't even know who our doctor is. I don't think we have a doctor. But it's not because we wouldn't do it. It's just that that's just the way it worked out. Because my kids are happy and they're content and they love Jesus. And my wife and I love Jesus and we pray all the time. We read our Bible. We're not perfect, of course. We're awful in the natural, but Jesus loves us. Amen. And we know that, and our kids can see that we're together, we love each other, we're happy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So why have to worry? I don't worry about stuff like that. So that's just the way it works out. When you're a Christian, you live in a different, and I've always believed this, you just live in a different world. You're living in a different kingdom.
It's true.
Totally different. Mm-hmm. The kingdoms of this world are not going to help you. I don't believe in any of it. I don't trust in pharmaceutical stuff. I don't trust in politics. I don't trust in sports. I don't, even though I like sports, I don't trust in. I don't trust in it. I don't trust in any public schools, private schools, homeschooling. Even though we homeschooled our kids. I don't trust in any. I don't trust in anything. I don't trust in myself. I don't trust that me and my wife are good parents and our kids are going to grow up and be great. I don't trust in that. All I want for my kids, all I want, is for them to be godly men and women. That's all my only prayer. It's my only prayer. I don't even pray anything else for them. What they do for a living, could care less. As long as it's not something sinful or whatever. But I don't care what they do for a living. I don't care. They go to college or don't go to. Some of them have, some of them haven't, because they didn't want to. So I don't know. It didn't matter to me. I just want them to be godly, to love Jesus with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength, and love their neighbor as themselves. That's all I want. I'm not asking for much. But really, that's all I want. And that's all really what you want for your kids too. You want them just to be godly men and women. And that's a prayer. And God promised He'd do it, so you don't have to worry about it. In our house church, we pray for our kids, and it's a lot. Pray for our kids, all the people in the house church. We got like five or six couples, and we all pray for all of our kids. And I have a list of them, man. There's a lot of them. Because I believe that if you're a Christian, that God made certain promises in the Bible about our kids, that they would grow up and they'd be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace. Because that's what kids need. That's what our children need. They don't need a government program or something. They need Jesus. That's all they need. I know it sounds cheap and irresponsible, but it's not. All I want is for my kids to know Jesus. Because this world is just temporal. It's just so short. I mean, just yesterday I was in junior high. Now I'm an adult. Now I'm 62. I'm about ready to retire probably in about 10 years or whatever. I don't know. So anyway, God is good. I'm just going to read the scripture here, and then that'll be good. Okay, this is a prayer. This is Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. Father, verse 1, chapter 17 of John, the Gospel of John. The hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may be glorified in thee. As thou hast given me him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Eternal life, you don't decide who has eternal life and doesn't have it. Only God does. The reason why I became a Christian, I don't even know why, but it was a miracle, because the Father must have decided. Even the Bible says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I planted you. It's going to say that here in a minute, that God planted us just like that wheat. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is the sower. He sows the seed. You were sown into this world. Dan, you were sown into this world to be wheat, to bear fruit. Well, you'll bear fruit. Not because you make it happen, because God, that's just what wheat does. It bears fruit. So you all bear fruit. You might not even know that or think that or can imagine that, but you have. Everybody in this room is born fruit. If you're a born-again Christian, you have. You cannot help it. Even though you think you haven't. Well, yeah, but I don't. Because you think like this. Most Christians think, oh, I don't have a ministry. Oh, I don't have this or I don't have that. You think about all things you don't have because we're just natural. We all think like that. I think like that. But you have born fruit. If you're planted, the Father planted you, and God's not stupid. He's not. He really isn't. He's wise. He's perfect. He's awesome. So he planted you on purpose because he loves you. Because he knew you'd bear fruit. He knew Willis was going to bear fruit. Tons of it. Now, there will be wood and stubble, I know that. Because we get in the way sometimes and do our own thing. But still, you've been planted by the Father. And this is, okay, verse 3. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So by faith. I have glorified thee on the earth, Jesus. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. Jesus finished everything. You know what my son said the other day? He goes, Dad, God doesn't even work. I said, and I go, yeah, how's that? And he goes, because all he's got to do is say stuff and it just happens. And I was like, and he's nine years old. And I was going, yeah, that's true. Because, you know, it says in the Bible, and then I thought about a scripture. It says that God finished all the work from the foundations of the world. All the works are, so God's already entered into his rest. God's already resting. And now we enter into the rest also because God has already done all the work. He's doing it, but you won't understand that. I don't even understand it. How God can, his work is done, yet he's the only one that works. I don't know how that works. But I thought that was a pretty good insight. I was like, wow, Titus, that is awesome. So God's not working, he just talks. You know when that's true? God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that are lost. Because it's foolishness. Like me getting up here and talking, it's just totally foolish. And I never imagined that it's awesome and I'm doing anything. God could do something, but it's just because that's just the way God did it. He gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors who are indeed teachers. He gave us those gifts for the edifying, to build up the body of Christ. It's just part of his body. They're really nothing. Like Pastor Jim is actually nothing. He's just a minister. He's just a... I mean, I've known Jim for a long time. I've been to his house. I've been on trips with him. I've been to Louise. We go all over the place. But he's just a man. He's not perfect. If you've ever driven his car with him, you would know he's not perfect. It's scary. It's a scary... As a matter of fact, every time I go somewhere, I go, Jim, let me drive. You don't want to drive with Jim. It's a harrowing experience. Okay. I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And Jesus always was, always will be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was crucified from the foundations of the world. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou, he keeps saying that thou gavest me out of the world. So you are in the world, but you're not of the world. He took you out of the world. That's you, all of you. We're all out of the world. Thine they were, so they were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept the word. Obviously, isn't that interesting that he said that? Because none of them did. They all forsook him. Judas, for sure, but the rest of them did too. They didn't keep God. They didn't even understand it. They even asked Jesus. They go, we don't even know what you're talking about. Anyway, but this is all God's work. You're not going to figure it out. It's just, it's hard. It's, you just got to believe it. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. So everything is from heaven. For I have given them the words, just words, which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I have come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst sent me. So they believed. All they did was believe that because of the works. But the Pharisees didn't. The Pharisees saw the exact same works. They heard the exact same words. But they chose to kill him because he was... Even when he healed the blind man and his mom and dad, yeah, he was born blind, but how he sees, I don't know. And the Pharisees wanted to kill him. And they even wanted to kill Lazarus. Because he was a sign and a wonder. Lazarus was a sign and a wonder. He was dead for 4 days. That's one more day than Jesus was dead. That's awesome. So when he was dead, they rose him from the dead. Then the Pharisees, then the next day, they're like, oh yeah, we got to kill Jesus. Oh yeah, and throw in Lazarus too. Because he was a sign and a wonder. People hate that. You think people will come to Jesus because they see a miracle or something? Some will. But some won't. Some will hate it. That was me. I did that. Jesus didn't do that. That was me. I did that. So people hate that they don't get any glory. Because that's the devil's thing. He wants all the glory. Okay, verse 9. I pray to them. I pray also for the world. I pray not for the world. The world, you will never... Okay, if you thought you could do something to change this world, you cannot. It'll always be the same. It's always been this way, the way it is right now. You can read history, even way back, Babylon. It's always been the same.
Yep.
The world has never changed.
Yep.
So the stuff that's happening in the United States right now is not so unusual or weird or anything. It's just normal. Because
yep.
The world, and don't pray for the world. People are always praying, oh, you fix this, fix that, but it's not going to be fixed. Just pray for pray. God is after his church. So we pray for, I'm praying for my kids. I do pray for my enemies, I do. But that's just it. You just pray for your enemies because God says to do it, not because you want to or because you, anything else, just because you have faith in Jesus Christ. Like, every day I pray for all the, I even name them, the Democrats. I pray for Trump. I pray for, not that he's my enemy. As a matter of fact, I don't even know who my enemies are most of the time. I pray for Pelosi and Biden and Harris and all of them. I pray for all of them. Not because I'm a good person or because I love them. I don't even know if I do or not. But the Bible says to. I pray for Jerusalem too. Why? Because the Bible says to. I never liked a Jew. I don't even know a Jew, I don't think. Well, my son-in-law. I had two incidences with Jews in my whole life, and they were both extremely negative. So, I just pray because the Bible says to. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to act like, oh, I love the Jews, so God loves me. I don't believe that. I just believe that you just do what God says. And he'll take care of the rest. Do I love the Jews? Yes, of course, because I love the Muslims too. I had a real good friend who was a Muslim before I was a Christian. I liked him. I loved him. His name was Saeed. I always call him Said because it's spelled just that way. It's Said. No, but anyway. So you just got to love everybody and love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Just by faith. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. That's always bothered me. Jesus left and went to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit. It feels like he kind of left. I'm sure disciples felt that way. Holy Father, keep thou thine own, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. So we're all one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gave me, there's again, it says it tons of times, I have kept. Jesus is the keeper. You know, he will present you before the Father unblameable, unaccusable. You know, you cannot be accused. Isn't that weird? When you get to heaven, when Jesus comes back, he'll say, Willis, well done, my good and faithful. And there will be nobody to refute it. The devil can't. No one can. Because he's unaccusable. Sure. Jesus is standing right behind him, and Father, yeah, Willis did perfect. He's perfect. Willis be going, really? Really? I didn't know that. But it's because of Jesus did all the work and did everything. And so you'll presented. I'm telling you, it says that in the Bible. I think it's in Jude or something. It says it several times, but it says you'll be unaccusable. You'll be presented blameless before the throne. Wow. Wouldn't that be cool if you had to go to court for murder or something, the capital offense, and then when you walked into the courtroom, they said, oh yeah, no, that guy's unaccusable. It's like, wow, okay, that's great. So that's the way it's going to work out for you. So that's awesome. Okay. And now I am no more in the world. Okay. Where was I? Verse 13. And now I come to thee. So Jesus is going to go up and sit at the right hand, just like we said in that prayer. He's going to go sit at the right hand of the throne of God. These things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Well, that's awesome prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus keeps us from the evil. That's why the world hates you, by the way. Is because you're not of the world. If you're of the world, they would hate the, you know, if you're of the world, then you love your own. If you're not of my family, then, you know, that's the way some people are. And that's the way God is. That's the way the world is. I mean, the world hates you because you're not of the world. That's why Cain killed Abel, the first murder. Because his deeds were righteous and his weren't. That irks people. When I was in... I'm reading a book by Candace Owens called The Blackout. I don't know if you guys heard of her. Probably have. But in her book, she was saying how when she grew up, she was really smart. So she was, you know, she excelled in the academics and stuff like that. And so all of her black friends made fun of her because she didn't talk like them. You know, she called it Ebonics or something. I can't remember what she called it. But she said she didn't talk like them. She didn't act like them. But they were still later on in life, they became her friends. But she said they made fun of her and they would treat her really bad because she was, and that's how the world is. When you are a Christian and you're happy all the time and trusting in Jesus, and all, they get mad. I mean, bitter mad. I have relatives that are like that. They know you're a Christian, they hate your guts. And they would kill you. I mean, they will, probably. So the world hates you. You just got to get over it. You're just never going to be... And that irks me, particularly because I am a man-pleasing kind of guy. You know, I'm a nice guy. I act nice. Stuff like that. But it's all facade. It's all just a lie. I'm just a man-pleaser. And I know that. God knows that. And I repent of it every day. But still, he has to do it. I'm not going to help him out. I never help God out, ever. If I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. If I'm a saint, then I'm a saint. God's got to, that's up to God. It's not up to me. I have no, I can't figure all that out. So God has to figure that out. I just acknowledge it and repent. And he's got to do all the doing. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So God's sanctifying you through his word. Thou hast sent me into the world. Even so have I also sent them into the world. Thanks a lot. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The truth will set you free. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The only truth in this world is not knowing some fact or some statistics or something. The truth is really Jesus Christ. And because he is true, then we know the truth because it's the word. You know, in heaven, I was reading the book of Revelation. It said that Jesus was called the Word of God. Because he is the Word. He's the Word made flesh and dwells among us. So when you read your Bible, you're actually reading Jesus. You're not reading facts and and stuff like that. You're reading about Jesus. So in my Bible, I always write down every time, like I'm reading the book of Jonah, I'm reading about Jesus. Because Jesus is merciful and kind. He didn't come to destroy the world. He came to save the world. So that's just a picture of the New Testament. The Old Testament is a picture of the New Testament. The New Testament is a revelation of the Old Testament. So when you read both of them, they kind of you're interpreted. It all fits together. Perfect. I mean, it's perfect. When it says the just shall live by faith in the Old Testament, it says it 10 times in the New Testament. It's just the way it is. So it always has been faith. It never was the law. The law never made anyone perfect. Never. Not once. Not in Moses, not anybody perfect. But a bringing of a better hope did, as Jesus. But Jesus was in the Old Testament too. Abraham believed in Jesus. He saw our day and was glad. Moses saw Jesus. He spoke of me. Jesus even said, the law and the prophets, they all spoke of me. Even the law itself speaks of Jesus. Yeah, don't do this. You better get to that guy. Because he has mercy. He has faith. He has grace. He has mercy. He has salvation. He has sanctification. He has everything. But the law can never, ever, ever do anything. Because it's weak through the flesh. The Bible says it's weak through the flesh. So Willis could never, if God said, Willis, you got to keep 10 commandments. And he does say that, but only so that Willis will see that he can't. Me too. The only reason why I read the law is because it's hard. It's even hard. You know, when Jesus came, he made it even worse. Way worse. Yeah. When I first became a Christian, I would read that and I'd go, oh my gosh, Jesus was like perfect. Did everything perfect. He said he knew how to talk. He knew, he healed everybody. He was like perfect. And I could never do that. But I tried. I'm telling you, when I first became a Christian, I gave all my stuff to the poor, everything I owned, everything, literally everything I owned, even my clothes. Because I thought, oh yeah, he says it right in the Bible, you got to do it. But I was stupid, because then I didn't have any clothes to wear, or whatever. I didn't have any stuff that I needed, the bed or something to sleep on. But anyway, but you can't do it. And I didn't even do it with a joyful heart or anything like the Bible says. So anyway, God is good. He is, everything's going your way. I can't even describe how good he is and how gracious he is and how peaceful. So you have peace, you have joy, and you have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So everything's going your way. So Father, we thank you for your word today. Yes. I thank you. I pray for each one here, Father, and their kids too. God, that they would be taught of the Lord, that everyone here would see Jesus, not just the dead letter, but the spirit of the law. That when we read the Bible, we'll see the spirit of it. We'll see that Jesus is in every verse. He's in every comment. He's in everything. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you that you'll present everyone here unblameable, unaccusable, in the presence of God through Jesus Christ. And that's our hope. That's our life. That's everything, God. So we thank you for that. In the meantime, we thank you that we are steadfast, unmovable, that we are overcomers through Jesus Christ. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, God's good.